All right.
Hello.
Good evening and welcome to our special session of Planning and Zoning Commission on January 16th, 2024. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, may I please have the roll call?
Commissioner Clark?
Present.
Commissioner Kellar?
Present.
Thank you. Commissioner Nichols?
Here.
Commissioner Outlaw Ryan?
Present.
Commissioner Thomas?
Present.
Commissioner Wilson?
Present.
And Commissioner Zielinski?
Thank you very much. If you all please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much. Thank you again for joining us this evening. A few housekeeping items for those in the audience. The restrooms and drinking fountains are located out this door, just to the right of the council chambers. There are no public hearings on the agenda tonight. However, if you wish to speak during the call to audience, please fill out a blue card located at the back table back there in the corner and bring it up to our recording secretary, Ms. Ancona. And as a reminder, speakers are limited to 3 minutes. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda pursuant to Arizona open meeting law. Individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. In order to speak during call to audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing your blue card. Ms. Ancona, are there any blue cards this evening?
No.
No blue cards. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close our call to audience. Next on our agenda, I will go ahead and turn the time over to our council liaison, Vice Mayor Barrett, for comments.
Hi, thank you very much, and I want to welcome the three new commission members and add my thanks and appreciation to the continuing and the previous commission members for your service to the town. We really appreciate the time, the dedication that you all bring to this commission. Thank you so much, and the professionalism as well. In terms of a planning update, as you're probably aware, the town council recently heard the rezoning on Rancho Vistoso and Tangerine Road and denied that rezoning. And that's about it. And then the agenda that you have on your agenda tonight, we will be hearing that as well. And that was a code amendment requested by council in one of our meetings. And so we'll be hearing that coming forward. We have our meeting at the end of January is canceled. Due to the fact that several key members of staff as well as several council members will be at a water conference in Phoenix to learn about Arizona's water future and having a smart water future in the state of Arizona. So it couldn't be more important. Then we'll resume again on February 7th for the council with a full agenda. And in addition to that, coming up in February, we'll have our council strategic planning retreat where we take a look at all our strategic plans that we have and give them an update, go over them all. And so we're preparing for that now, and that will be an all-day retreat, and it's open to the public if any of you would like to attend or listen in. We would invite you to do so if you'd like to do that. So that's it for my planning update. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our special session agenda. Ms. Ancona, will you please read agenda item number one?
Election of Chair for the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you very much. All right. At this time, I'd like to. Is there anybody who has any nominations for chair?
I'd like to nominate Anna Clark for chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I will second that motion.
All right.
I'd like to nominate Kim Outlaw Ryan for the post.
If we could have multiples, you're just going to have to vote on both.
All right. For the first motion, do we have any discussion? All right. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Yeah. Madam Chair, you just got a majority.
Yes.
You are now the chair. Even the lady you were running against voted for you. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Motion carries. All right. Thank you very much. And Ms. Ancona, may have agenda item number 2.
Election of the vice chair for the Planning and Zoning Commission.
All right.
I'll nominate Kim Outlaw Ryan for the vice chair.
I'll second that.
Do you have any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, aye. Any opposed? All right, motion carries. All right, very good. Ms. Ancona, if we could have agenda item number 3, please.
Review and approval of the December 5th, 2023 regular session meeting minutes.
Thank you. Do you have a motion to approve the minutes?
I motion to approve the minutes as read.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 7-0. Thank you. And Ms. Ancona, if we could have agenda item number 4.
Study session, presentation, and discussion regarding a potential zoning code amendment regarding vehicle storage facilities.
Thank you very much. And it looks like we'll be turning the time over to Ms. Chavez. Thank you very much.
Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. Alrighty. Hello, I'm Alex Chavez. I'm a planner with the town, and I am the staff member that's taking lead on this proposed code amendment item. This evening's item is for presentation discussion only, so no motion will be taken tonight. The code amendment was initiated by town council during their May 2023 meeting, which stems from an application request to construct a vehicle storage facility. The key matter that was discussed was the allowance of vehicle storage facilities as a permitted use rather than a case-by-case review that is allowed through a conditional use permit. Tonight, we're here to obtain feedback from the commission to help staff write the refine the proposed code amendments that we have listed here on the screen, which I'll go into detail later in the presentation. Feedback that we collect will then help us refine these proposed code amendments. And so the discussion is what we're looking for this evening. So before we move forward, we do have some key zoning definitions that I'd like to highlight here. We have what's the definitions that are related to vehicle storage. What I'd like to highlight are the key terms. For vehicle storage, it's the primary purpose. And then for motor vehicles, we're looking at the device which may which a person may be transported, pulled, or drawn. So I know we think of a car or a truck, but this definition does go beyond that. So what we have on the screen, RVs, trailers, boats. So if you think about that through this discussion that we'll have. OK, Okay. So currently, there are zero facilities in the town that are standalone vehicle storage that are operating as a primary use. Certainly, we have two self-storage facilities that offer vehicle storage to customers. But what's important here is that it's an additional service to their primary use. So this is considered an ancillary use. And that's to say it's subordinate to the primary. We have a photo here to the left of what that vehicle storage facility looks like. And on the right, it's an aerial image of the storage facility outlined in blue. And the area that they use to store the vehicles is outlined in yellow. So it's that ancillary use and primary. So where is it permitted to store vehicles as a primary use? Currently, it's allowed in all of our commercial zoning districts. We've also see it as a permitted use for our townhome residential and our resort districts as well. So we have that shown in the table to the left. And then what does that look like in town? So on the right, we have a zoning map, and you can see that it's permitted by right along our major corridors of Oracle Road and a portion of Tangerine, where we typically see commercial uses, so that makes sense. When we looked into this, we also found that there are some areas in town that it may not make sense to have vehicle storage where it's permitted in a single-family residential area. So this code amendment is looking at is ensuring that the use is compatible with the surrounding land uses as well. So in addition to looking at our current zoning code, we also looked at planned area development standards for those areas. We also looked at we looked at 20 jurisdictions to see what they're doing to understand best practices as well. And so we looked at Marana, Sarita, we even went up to looked at what Buckeye, Paradise Valley, Fountain Hills is doing, and also out of state as well. So what did we find? We found that the primary use or the classification of use for vehicle storage facility, it varied between permitted or conditional use. So we used our findings from the research to develop the potential code amendments that we have listed here on the screen. Again, I'll go into each detail for the three that we have listed here. And what we're looking for is feedback on this to help guide our efforts to refining the code amendment items. So the first item is we're looking at permitted use as it's currently allowed in the zoning code. So the table on the screen provides the zoning code districts where vehicle storage is permitted. Again, this is for vehicle storage as a primary use. So think of a standalone parking garage, maybe an RV storage yard, so that one single use. The key finding from our assessment is that jurisdictions commonly had vehicle storage facilities in just commercial zoning districts. So thinking about fit, compatibility, and intensity of land uses, staff is recommending that vehicle storage, that we remove vehicle storage as a permitted use for townhome residential, resort district, and as well as commercial neighborhood, which I have here in red. Righty, so building off our previous recommendation, item two looks at the method for managing the application of this land use. So staff is recommending a proposed conditional use permit. Conditional use permits are discretionary asks that require a public participation process, review by Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as ultimately approval by Town Council. So with respect to vehicle-related uses that we currently have in our zoning code, a CUP is required for car rental agencies and vehicle repair shops. So a CUP for a vehicle storage facility will allow a case-by-case review of each of the application requests to ensure that it's compatible with the site, there's sufficient parking and storage area, as well as control over site design as well. Okay, so the proposed changes are here highlighted where We are looking for a conditional use in C1 and C2. And we are also looking at ancillary uses that make sense to ensure that we're applying the code consistently. So we thought about maybe a fleet storage for a research and development business in Tech Park, or a garage for a resort. And so and with that, we're proposing ancillary uses for those two zoning districts. Okay. So the third item relates to development standards and really focuses on how vehicles are stored. So what I'd like to highlight here with the importance of development standards it's that it helps us ensure that we're maintaining the look and character of a neighborhood, that we are ensuring that there's compatibility with surrounding land uses, right? So setbacks and screening requirements help to ensure building and uses are meeting those land tools that we have, as well as help to mitigate nuisances. So for vehicle storage facilities, currently they follow the requirements for outdoor storage. Important items to note for that requirement is that items stored must be completely enclosed, or they must be behind an opaque barrier, so think of a wall. And then additionally, the items cannot be seen from the street view. One kind of aha moment when we looked at the existing code moment is that the requirements for outdoor storage didn't specifically say vehicles. So we are looking at how we could strengthen that connection between the requirements for outdoor storage and how that applies to vehicles. So with that, staff recommends that we revise the existing code language to clarify that outdoor storage facilities specifically apply to vehicle storage as well, and that we also clarify associated screening needs, such as having walls that are with sufficient height to cover the tallest vehicle stored on site. So if you have an RV on site, the wall needs to be higher than 6 feet than currently allowed, right? So with that, staff is looking for feedback from the commission regarding the three items that we're proposing as potential code amendment, as well as the changes that we have here shown on the table. With that, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chavez. Do we have any questions? Sir?
Yes, I think you presented everything clearly, but I have a few questions anyway. Sorry. I usually boom. I don't need a mic. I'm confused about the difference between permitted and conditional as it applies to this. Why? How is permitted restricted at all? Because at one point you said conditional use permits, they have to be reviewed for this and that and there are other things. So permitted, they could just pretty much do almost anything?
Oh, great. Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski. So if it's permitted by right, they are allowed to construct or build, provided that they still meet zoning code requirements. So we have setback requirements, design standards, and those process. So as long as those, if you will, checkboxes are met, then the town will still review the plans and we'll need to approve them by the land rights entitlements that they have.
Other than it might encumber the system, why wouldn't we make everything conditional rather than have some permitted?
Excellent.
So, sure. Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, if I could maybe just add some insight there. So the idea is that in certain instances, not all, but in certain instances, you know, the potential impacts on surrounding land uses could certainly have a negative impact, right? But not every zoning district is that the case. And so we want to make sure that we provide the opportunity for that public oversight and opportunity to set appropriate conditions or requirements where appropriate for those types of uses, depending on their context. I mean, I can certainly think of a number of instances where, in C1 or C2 zoning districts that you're smack dab in the middle of a commercial area, you know, the potential impact on residential isn't obviously nearly as a high possibility as it currently could be in some zoning or in some context. So I guess I hope that answers your question a little bit, that not every scenario is going to be the same. So requiring a CUP for every single one might go a step too far.
I think you went the other way, or I didn't phrase my question correctly. I was wondering why more everything wasn't conditional, and you sort of told me why some things could be conditional. I wonder why we would have permitted it all and not review everything as conditional.
Sure. Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, and yeah, my answer could have been more direct. So the point I was trying to make is that there are certainly some instances where there are very minor impacts on adjoining land uses because it's smack dab in the middle of a commercial shopping center or a commercial area where you're surrounded by commercial. And so the impacts to a commercial district next door aren't as impactful as if it was next to, you know, a tech park or a residential, rather, zoning district. So I guess that would be my answer to your question.
Okay, maybe I would have to dive more into the what is permitted without further review, because it sounded like there were some things they could do and we would not be reviewing them at all.
So to just clarify that a little bit, so you would still be reviewing them, but as Ms. Chavez indicated, if they meet code across the board, then the town's ability to say yes or no doesn't exist. But if it's a conditional use permit, it gives commission and council the extra layer of review depending on the context of where it's at, which we think could be certainly appropriate given certain scenarios that could come before the council and commission.
I see where you're going. However, why wouldn't everything be conditional? Why have permitted it all?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, I mean, if that's certainly the recommendation of commission, then you could certainly go down that path. From staff's perspective, we do think there are instances where having that extra layer of review isn't really necessary because you don't have the potential impact on immediate neighbors. But
and you might discourage some developers or builders too. Yeah, okay. The other question is, I know you stated in here, but it was... it includes parking garages, but the emphasis was more on the other types of storage. I just want to reiterate, it does include all parking garages, whether it be residential, commercial, tech park, or whatever, right? So, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, yes, correct. Vehicle storage facilities, by definition, does include parking garages.
If I could just add, sorry to keep chiming in, Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, just to hone in a little bit on this, a finer point, as a primary use. So if you have an apartment parking garage associated with an apartment development, let's say, hypothetically, that would be the ancillary use to the apartment use on that property as the primary use, right? So just want to make sure that distinction is clear.
Okay. South of Silverhawk, between on First Avenue up to Oracle Road, there's a new development on the east side, going a large development going in there. Was it
Nokomis
Sky? I understand there's a large parking garage being built there. Is that going to meet that? That's a permitted use, right? Because it comes previous to this situation.
So, Chair Clark, Commissioner Zielinski, right. So that PAD, when it was actually established, provided for them to be able to have a parking garage to meet their parking demand. And the scenario I just gave you, the hypothetical of an apartment, wasn't quite on point. What I should have said is if there's a parking garage with a resort district as being proposed, it could be ancillary in that scenario, right? So that's what staff is recommending as part of this, but we'd certainly love to hear your feedback.
Well, I think one of the main concerns is I sit through all the meetings in the past year that people have is the height of buildings. And these parking garages are regulated by similar restrictions to other height restrictions that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zielinski. Devenir. Joe? Excuse me. Mr. Nichols?
Thank you, Chair Clark. Ms. Chavez, a couple questions. What prompted this review? Is there something that caused us to look at this?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Nichols. Yes, so the code amendment stems from a initiated code amendment from town council, which stems from an applicant's request to build a standalone vehicle storage facility.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Why do we make a distinction between primary and ancillary use?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Nichols. So with the primary use, that could be a standalone and just the only use that we have. With ancillary, you need the first use to anchor it. So similar to the, if I can go back here to the aerial image. So in this instance, the vehicle storage facility outlined in yellow could not just be developed if the applicant just came in for that. It needs to have the self-storage facility to be code compliant, so what's outlined in blue.
Yes, but so does it have the same requirements? In other words, the walls have to be high enough to shield all the vehicles, et cetera?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Nichols, correct. Yes, so ancillary use or primary use or conditional use permit, each one of those use classifications will still need to be compliant with the zoning code regulations.
Thank you. And finally, when you list them as CUP or A for ancillary, does the ancillary require the applicant to come to the commission? Or is an ancillary just part of whatever else?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Nichols, no. So if it's an ancillary use that's approved, then they can go through the development administratively.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I really like what you've done to take these kinds of things out of neighborhoods, out of commercial or residential. So overall, thank you. Looks good.
Thank you. Any other comments? Please.
First off, thank you for your time. Great job tonight. A couple of follow-ups, one to the prior question. On the shielding around the facility, is that the walls that are going to go up around the vehicle, is it just around the new use area, or will the walls be also, are they also required around the overall existing platform as well?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Thomas. So, it depends, I guess, right? So depending on the context and what's around it. Ultimately, it needs to be around where the storage portion of it is. But of course, if depending on the context or the topography of the site or something that doesn't, it's not feasible or whatever, then certainly we could work with the applicant to figure out a way at the end of the day to make sure the storage component is screened.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Second question, with the changes, are there any updates or changes to lighting requirements that are going to be part of this for the facility that would have to take into consideration as well?
Chair Clark, Commissioner Thomas, at this time we did not, we're not looking at updating lighting requirements. The zoning code does have outdoor lighting that the proposed development that would come in would need to adhere to.
Thank you very much. That's all for this evening.
Do you have any other questions? Please, Ms. Alloway.
Thank you, Chair Clark. And thank you also for your presentation. My question is more procedural in nature. So I understand that this is a study session, no actions to be taken tonight. Next steps, do we anticipate future neighborhood meetings to gather neighborhood input on these prospective changes? I understand that the request came from council for us to discuss these possible changes. So I'm just thinking about what are the concerns of people who might be impacted by what I understand that is a permitted activity, and we're requesting limitations on those entitlements to conditional use in most circumstances.
So, Chair Clark, Vice Chair Outlaw Ryan. So, no, we don't typically do neighborhood meetings for code amendments. You know, when we have a code amendment where it's impacting a significant percentage of the population or the town, we can certainly reach out to folks and try and contact them and solicit their feedback for sure. Of course, moving forward after the study session with town council, this will be brought back before the commission and council at public hearings that, of course, are certainly open for public comment as well. So there will definitely be an opportunity for folks to make their voice heard.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth.
Do you have any other questions? I have just one question for you regarding the third request. So would this apply to businesses that are already have an ancillary use such as a car rental place? So right, we all know there's an enterprise rental there at McGee, and all their cars are parked right up to McGee Road. So are they going to have to build something to shield that car storage?
Chair Clark, so for this code amendment, it would not apply if they're already in operation. They would be considered a non-conforming use, and so it wouldn't apply unless they did any upgrades or modifications or site changes. Then they would need to be brought up to compliance with zoning codes.
All right, that was the only question. You guys asked all the other ones that I had, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chavez.
Thank you.
All right, looks like the last thing on our agenda tonight is the planning update. Does staff have an update for the commission?
Yes, Chair Clark, thank you much. So next meeting will be on February 6th, and as of right now, we do have one item on the agenda, which will be a presentation by Ms. Sims on the town's build out moving forward. So should be an interesting discussion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spaeth. And with that, in 32 minutes, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
I motion to adjourn for the evening.
So moved.
Thank you very much. We'll get the hang of it. Thank you so much for adjourn at 6:32. Thank you very much.